I didn't grab it as I went out the door. All right, looking again at the right way to work, the way God wants us to work. Let's turn first to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul told Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth. And thank you, Lord, that you lead us into these things as Paul admonished Timothy, the faith and purity and truth. Lord, that as we study your word and seek to follow you, you work in our hearts and give us direction by your Holy Spirit's presence, that we might walk honestly and uprightly before believers and also before the world. Help us, Lord, as we look at a few of these aspects this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last week when we looked at the right way to work, we looked at some of the more, you might say, the responsibilities. And this evening, I'd like to look at kind of some of the effects of our work. We ought to work with an understanding of how we're affecting the people around us. The Bible says, and we'll begin with, being a good example. God wants us to be a good example to those around. Paul told Timothy, not just let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation. You say, what's this verse have to do with the way you work? Well, when it says conversation, generally when the Bible uses the word conversation, it means your manner of life, your testimony, the way you live. And work is kind of a big part of the way we live, isn't it? Isn't it? You know, if you're a kid, you have chores to do. If you're an adult, you have responsibilities of some kind, whether it's responsibilities at a home or at a farm or at a job. You have responsibilities that very few people cannot work. And those who don't work usually have other problems as well, because God made us to work. God made us to get things done. And so when the Bible says we need to be paying attention to our conversation, that's the manner of our life, and that applies to how we work. We're supposed to be paying attention to how we do our labor, meet our responsibilities. So it says, be an example of the believers. Now, Paul was telling this to Timothy because Timothy was important to him. God is inspired. God gave Paul these words to write. But he was writing specifically to Timothy because Timothy was important to him. Now think about that. God figured this was important enough to preserve for us to read today. So not only was Timothy important to Paul, but the words that God inspired Paul to write are important to God in regards to every believer. God wants us to be an example to those around. And this is not the only place that God says this. Turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Wait a second, I might be getting ahead of myself here. I think I missed the other verse I was going to write down just here, but in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." Now, let nothing be done. Does that just mean, obviously it's talking here through strife or vainglory, so these are things that you want to do. Right? These are things that you want accomplished, that you want to see done, that you want to have happen in your life. So does it only apply to the stuff that you want? No, it says let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. So part of this being a good example is you need to be paying attention to your motivation. What is the reason that you're doing whatever it is you're doing? If it's what, your own personal goal, if it's for your own ends, or if it's for somebody else, a job that you're working for your parent or your boss or your friend, whatever it might be. The way you get that done is, are you doing it in truth and honesty and for the benefit of those around you, or are you doing it, doesn't matter who gets hurt along the way, just as long as I get this thing done. Just as long as I get a pat on the back. That's what a strife means, doesn't matter who gets hurt. It says, let nothing be done with strife. Vainglory is just as long as I get a pat on the back at the end of it. That's really simple terms, but that's what it's getting to. It says, let nothing be done this way. Guess what? If you're not doing anything that way, then you are being a good example. It's kind of a reverse verse here on has a command to be a good example, but that's what it's getting at. Now, what's the rest of it here? But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, that's the way to do the first half of the verse. You get into a situation, you get into just doing what you're supposed to be doing, and somebody comes in, they're going to get in your way or whatnot, and you're to have a lowly mind. You're not the greatest thing that ever happened to the face of this earth. You're not necessarily God's best buddy. You're another one of His servants. And we need to have a lowly mind. Not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, is what Paul told the Corinthians. It says, let each esteem other better than themselves. And you know, I admit, that's hard to do sometimes. It's especially hard to do when you're in a situation and you're dealing with somebody that you know ought to know more than you about this situation, and they don't. And I've been there, and you know, they have some say in the matter, and they've got everything backwards, and it's obvious to. Not just, and it's not just to you, or not just to me, it's to other people around. But you're stuck in that situation. You gotta, hey, we're not to do it through strife or vainglory. We're not to make a mess out of this, so let's just do what needs done and get it over with and leave things in a decent order and on the other side. It's not always easy. But it is a command for us. And it is something where we have the grace of God. You know, the Bible tells us that Christ has left us an example. And He empowers us to walk in His example. Now stop for a moment and think about that in this regard. Jesus came and walked on this earth. And was subject to His parents, was subject to authorities, was He walked after the manner of the Jews. He taught them of the kingdom of God, but He walked in His life. He followed the law, and He did it completely. But He did that. Now think for a moment about that. This was God Almighty under the Jewish teachers. But He did not, when He was a child, He did not rebuke them. He answered their questions and He astonished them with His knowledge. But He did not rebuke them. Now, if God can send His Son and do that in the presence of man, we most definitely can ask Him for help in esteeming others better than ourselves, when we're just sinners like everyone else around us. We're only a sinner saved by grace. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now this is where these last couple of verses are going. When you live that example, when you have the lowly mind, when you're being focused on your conversation being in all purity and truth before others, your light will shine. Now, is it your light or is it the light that's within you? See, it's supposed to be the light that's within you, Jesus Christ. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now, this does not mean we've got to have good works to go to heaven. This is the good works that we are doing, the right way of living, because we love the Lord. And they see the Lord through us. It says, this is the words of Christ. He said, just a couple of verses before, he said, ye are the light of the world. He gave that to us. Even though he rose again, he went back to heaven. He did not continue to walk on this earth. He gave the responsibility of sharing the gospel to you and I. You and me, we're the light of the world. And if we don't walk being a good example to those around us, whether it's to our brothers and sisters, as the Bible says, whether it's to the believers, as we just read in 1 Timothy 4, or whether it's to them that are without, as it says in Colossians. We are the light. We're supposed to be that light. Why? Because when men see your good works, it's not so you get a pat on the back. It says that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. They see something different in you. And they turn to God or they praise God. That's why we're to be a good example in all areas. And included in that is our work. Whether it's a chore at home, whether it's a job out in the world, whether you work on the computer and really have very little actual interactions with people. We're to do right in every area so that when it is before others, it is a good example at all times. It's not a facade that we put on. It's not a fake, people are looking, I got to be good for a few minutes. That's not a good example. Because if that's your mode of operation, it's going to bleed through that it's all a facade. What the way you really are will show. That just reminded me of an illustration, but I can't remember all of it. I'm sorry. But it has to do with the light. And you can put different lenses on the light and it'll show a different way. But it's still the same light. It's still the same bulb that's putting that light through the lens. And you take off that lens, whether it's red or green or blue or clear, and eventually the light of that bulb will show through. And if I remembered exactly how the illustration goes, it's a lot better than that. But that's the gist of it. And you get the idea. The light's the same. We can put whatever lens we want on the front. But if the light's us, my doings, my own goals and purposes, and my own benefit, it's eventually going to show through that I'm not walking with the light of Christ. And my example will not be true. But if my light is the light of Christ, then what comes through the lens will be true light. And folks will glorify God. It won't be for myself or a little pat on the back. It'll be for God in eternity. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here we go. I just had it in the wrong order. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So not only is our conversation to be before the believers, as we read in Timothy, but it's to be before, and here Peter is writing to the Jews, so he says the Gentiles, but he's writing to the believers. So he's writing to the believers about them that are without. He says, your conversation being honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers. Look, think about this. Is your example, is your life on a straight enough path that someone can come up and can come to you and say, or can be spreading around to others, that, man, that person's bad? But at the end of the day, they'll be the ones eating their words, because your conversation was honest. And it was honestly the light of Christ. It wasn't you. It wasn't you trying to make your own way. It says, when it comes down to the day of visitation, as it says here, they may by your good works, which they shall behold. Somebody says, man, you're bad. You're bad. Everything you say is bad. Everything you do is bad. But you keep on doing what's right in front of them. And eventually they'll have to say, all these things that I'm saying are bad. Somehow everything works out for them. Somehow everybody pats them on the back. Somehow it's all going right for them. And eventually they'll have to glorify God, whether it's in the day of visitation in their life, where God gets a hold of their soul and brings conviction, and they bow the knee and say, yes, Lord, I accept your salvation because I see what you did in that person. Or whether it's the day of visitation where God calls their name, their time is up. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And God says, I put a good example in front of you all your life. And even though they're in judgment, they have to glorify God. At that point, the Bible says someday every knee shall bow and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee. Every person created will glorify God at some point, even if it's but for a moment, when they admit that He is the righteous judge and they are worthy of condemnation. Will you be an example that God may use in that day and say, hey, I put somebody in your life and you called them an evildoer? We looked last week at be not weary in well-doing. Because, as we see compared to this verse, sometimes if we get weary, our example will fail and someone else will not give God glory. Because, they faded out like everybody else. All those do-gooders, they can only do good for so long. Not only that, but we live in a day, as the Bible prophesied, we live in a day where people call evil good and good evil. Honestly, we can go out and do right and obey God and follow His Word, and people will call us bad. If you haven't figured that out in the last 10 years, you need to compare the news with the Bible for just a couple minutes. That's what the public is already doing. It will happen to you someday. You can't avoid it anymore. But will we continue and do what is right? Or will we say, oh, I don't want to be called a bad guy. I'm not a bad guy. Don't they know I'm not a bad guy? I don't like to be called a bad guy. And go off in our own little corners. That's not what the Bible says to do. It says to not be weary in well-doing. It says having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Now, if that doesn't say go out and do right in front of them, I don't know what does. Because if we don't do that, they will not know the truth. They will not know that God changes lives through the power of Jesus Christ. They will not know that there is something different than the evil and confusing path that they are on. If we do not obey the Word. Another thing we need to take note in the right way to work, the right way to conduct our lives, is in Mark chapter 10. We need servant leadership. We need to be willing to lead. We looked at that before. We kind of hinted at it. God wants His children to be leaders. We're to be followers of Christ and leaders of men. But we're to lead in the truth and in right ways. Mark chapter 10 tells us we're to be servant leaders. Verses 42 through 45. But Jesus called them unto Him and said unto them, and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you, ye shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. Again, this is an area where we need to be following the steps of Christ. We are to be leaders. We're to step out before the Gentiles, before the lost, and walk in truth that folks might see. We're to step out in front of believers and to walk, as Paul told Timothy, in purity and truth and following God. We're to lead. But the best way to lead in God's eyes is to be a servant of all. The lost, the Gentiles, their leadership is lordship. Hey, I'm the boss. You listen to me. You do it my way. You do as I say and no other. Doesn't matter if I'm wrong. You do it. That's not the kind of leadership that God wants. God wants us to lead by serving, by showing, and by walking alongside, just as Jesus has done for us. Then, we already looked at this a couple weeks ago, but we need to always do our work as unto God. Colossians chapter 3. There in a second. Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 through 24. And whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. we'll read the whole passage. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. So, doing this as unto the Lord. Wives, are we treating your husbands as you would treat Christ? Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Husbands, have you got a problem with your wife? Stop and check. Have you got a problem with Christ? This is what this is all about. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You want to learn how to obey God? Obey your parents. That's what this whole passage is about. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Fathers, how are you dealing with your children? Is it the way you want God to deal with you? Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So again, we have not looking for a pat on the back, not looking to just please the people around us, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And in the greater passage, doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, looking at our masters as if they were Christ. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Whatsoever ye do, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Whatever we're doing puts a mark in eternity. And honestly, who do we want to... Who is most important for us to be pleasing today in the light of eternity? See, oftentimes we forget about eternity, don't we? It's in our minds that it's something that it's going to happen someday, and that'll be forever, and that'll be wonderful. But we don't stop to remember that today, if you're a Christian, today is part of your eternal life. Death has no power over you. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Then, God wants us to have integrity. Proverbs chapter 11. Integrity is, again, honesty. We looked at honest conversation. But it's not just honest outwardly that people can see. Integrity is the basis of it. It's being honest to the core, if you will. Someone with integrity will be honest because they have values that they will not change. It's important to them to be honest with themselves at all times. Now, it's been said, character is what you do in the dark, or what you do when no one else is around. Integrity is that part of character that keeps you the same. If you're that flashlight or that that light bulb, no matter what lens is in front of you, you're shining the same. That's integrity, and God wants us to have it. The Bible has a lot to say, but Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them." So it's a set of values that you say, "I will serve the Lord," just as we read in Colossians. I will serve the Lord no matter who it is I'm working for right here for the moment. No matter what's going on in the situation, no matter if someone else is doing wrong beside me or to me or through me, I will serve the Lord. Being integrity in that, being one of integrity in that, will guide you. But the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Psalm 25 and verse 21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. So in Proverbs, we have a statement of fact, of direction. The integrity of the upright will guide them. That's a truth. Psalms, David was praying that God would hold David's integrity together. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. It will preserve you. It'll be that thing you fall back on when you come to a question, what should I do in this situation? All right, let me check. What are the values that God is that I have accepted are God's way in my life? Okay, that's what I'll do. And it'll preserve you. I will be a man or a woman of integrity. I will not change from those values that are based in the Bible and that are shown to me by the Holy Spirit and that are paid for by the blood of Christ. I will not change. And guess what? The world might throw some speed bumps. The devil might throw some darts. But you will be preserved. God has said so. And if you're worried about it, like David, pray. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Lord, I believe I'm doing what you have said is right. Please take care of the rest. He's promised he will. In the next chapter, 26 and verse 1, says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Something is coming along, and as we read a few verses ago, people saying, oh, you're an evildoer, everything you do is bad, and you're just trying to do what's right. Be not weary in well-doing. Go in your prayer closet and say, God, you judge me. You tell me. If I'm doing something wrong, I'll change it. But I'm trying to walk in integrity here. You show me what's right. And I'll walk in it. I have trusted in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. He might have to correct you. He might have to guide your steps a little more defined. But you won't slide. Especially if you double check with God. Then a Christian is to be lawful. To walk in a lawful manner. Matthew chapter 22. A lot of times we're tempted to cut corners, to try to figure out a different way to do it than the way we're supposed to do it, whatever it might be. We're just talking about work situations here. Again, whether it's a chore, whether it's your home, whether it's your job. But the fact is, the Bible tells us Christians are to be lawful. Now, whatever the law might be, we're going to look at a couple different things here. But the fact is, it applies to every area of our life. We can't just say, well, I'll be lawful in this matter, and this matter, well, that's just, I can do what I want. It's kind of the American way, but it doesn't mean it's God's way. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 17 says, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, who is the image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. You notice they left him. It didn't bring them to Christ. They said, I don't want to do things according to somebody else. I want to do things my own way. That was the major problem with the Jewish leaders. They wanted people to follow them as they went their own way. and this is in regards to taxes, sure. It says, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? These Jews wanted to rebel. So are taxes right? there's a lot of Christians out there that won't pay their taxes because they think, oh, it's America, it's a free country. What was the Boston Tea Party all about anyway, right? But Jesus said, if you're in that country, you pay tribute. You follow the law. Whether it's taxes, whether it's speed limit, whatever it is, if there's a direction, whether it's working a certain way. And I understand there's a lot of work laws that are a little bit strange, but we're to follow them anyway. Because having that good example, having the leadership that is by serving others, ultimately we're leading to Christ. Having integrity, one that people can't say, oh, yeah, they're a good person in these things, but they don't do stuff. They don't do those things. We're not to have that kind of testimony. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. This verse goes all the way up and all the way down. Principalities and powers. That's talking about the higher authorities, okay, the world governments, presidents, kings, prime ministers. Principalities and powers. But it goes to obey magistrates. You know who the magistrate is? That's the sheriff. That's the mayor. It goes all the way down to the municipal level. So whether it's your town, whether it's your county, state, country, whether you're traveling and you're in another country, the Bible, Paul told Titus to teach the believers. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, when I was a kid, we met a missionary that was going into it was Middle East somewhere. I don't remember exactly where. some Muslim country. And anyway, he was going in with the attitude that I'm an American citizen. Yep. You can... I have the power of the embassy behind me. I'm going to go in and preach the gospel, but they can't do anything to me. Well, he didn't last very long. Guess why not? Because he wasn't in America. He wasn't going to go start a church in the consulate. His idea had been to go witness to these people. But he was not going to be subject to their ways. Just because you're not going to be subject to their religion doesn't mean that you can go in and not be subject to their way of life. You won't get the gospel across to them. Now that's easy for us to see, or should be, but what about here? If we have a reputation of doing things our own way, are we going to get the gospel across to our neighbors, to the authorities we have here? It's to be in our minds. Put them in mind. We're to think about it as we go about our daily business. 1 Peter, again, in chapter 2. We looked at verse 12 a minute ago, but let's look at a few more verses there. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to be king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God, honor all men. Boy, that's pretty hard sometimes. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That can be a hard verse to live by. But again, the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ helps us in this. When we remember that that's what Jesus did. When they asked him to lead a rebellion against Rome, he disappeared in the crowd and walked away. When they tried to do all kinds of things, he always had a calm reply. When they, as we just read, when they tried to get him to say, oh yeah, you don't have to pay taxes, he said, render to Caesar what's Caesar's and unto God what's God's. And they marveled and walked away. This is what Jesus did. And he gives us the power to do the same if we will know his word and obey it. So some of the right ways to work, things to have in mind as we go about our work, as we looked at today, a brief recap, we're to be a good example. No matter what we do, be a good example. We're to have servant leadership. You might not be in a leader's position, but you have an opportunity to lead in doing right. Kids, you hear me? You might not be the boss, you might not be the leader, but you always have an opportunity to lead in doing right. And do it by serving. It gets attention, more attention than you think. Do it as unto God. Whether it's to your friends, to your parents, to your spouse, to your boss, to the government. Do it as if you're looking at God serving him, because you are. That person might not be God, but you're serving God anyway. It is God that writes all the things that you do down in his book, and you'll stand before him and discuss them one day. Do it with integrity. Have a core set of values established by God's word in your heart, and let God check on them. Judge me, O God. Make sure my integrity is what it's supposed to be. Don't be like Job, where I didn't write the verse down, but there's three places in Job where Job says to God, God, you come down here and we'll have, you come and judge, you come and challenge my integrity and I'll win. That's why Job had to say at the end, thrice have I spoken and I won't speak again. That's not integrity. If we think we're so right that we can challenge God as who's more right, guess what? We're wrong every time. We're to have integrity that's based in the values of God's word, and the honesty to get to let him check on us. And then we're to be lawful, to follow what is right, to do what we are commanded to do, so that others around may see, again, that we serve, that we obey, and most importantly, that they will see through that we obey God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these challenges, and Lord, they are challenges because we are humans just like Israel, often stiff-necked and rebellious people. Lord, we still deal with our flesh, still deal with our willfulness, still deal with our conceited version of ourselves. Help us, Lord, to learn to follow you in purity and in truth, in honesty and integrity, that others might see we are your child, we serve you, and ultimately they will answer to you as well. Help each one here to have that light that comes from you and draws men to the throne of God. In Jesus' name.